Hello, you're listening to Grow, Cook, Inspire, and I'm Helen Cross, mother of three, farmer's daughter, but now very much a city dweller. And this is the first series of a new podcast, which aims to get more parents, grandparents, carers and schools cooking, gardening and growing their own, as well as bringing alive the stories of the people who are producing and cooking our food. I'll also be illustrating and educating everyone, whether they're 5 or 85, where our food actually comes from before it arrives on the kitchen table. Over this year, it has become apparent that not only is cooking and gardening more than ever good for us physically, but also it's great exercise for our minds. And there's also become a huge disconnect between where our food comes from. In the first episode, we join Lucy Calder and her daughters from Gilduff Farm, who are on a mission to get more of us eating pumpkins. In April this year, they planted 10,000 seeds, producing 6,000 pumpkins on their farm in East Lothian. The love and the passion is truly quite remarkable, and they want to inspire more children to grow their own too. I'll also share a recipe for pumpkin Wellington in the kitchen with my sous chef Otto. But first, you might think that the end of October is not the time to be focusing on the garden. But before we completely go into hibernation, now is the perfect time to plan ahead. And nothing provides hope for the future, especially during these uncertain times, than planting for spring. So get outside and get digging. We want to plant daffodils, alliums, crocuses and tulips, and you will be rewarded if you plant these between now and December, because come springtime you will have lots of colour bursting through the ground. Also a great activity for little ones, and also a great job for you guys in the garden this weekend: get collecting leaves for mulching next year. Pop them in a black bin liner, tie it up, pierce some holes in the bottom, store in a cool, dark place, and you will have great mulch for your beds next year. And as many as you of you know, will know that hedgehog houses are a great activity to do with children, and as hedgehogs are in decline rapidly in this country, why not create a house for these gorgeous little fellows as winter creeps closer? Get a plastic box, put a hole in the side, place it near a fence or a hole in your fence or a gate in the garden, and cover it with a black bin liner. Put some twigs over it to create a house shape, and fill with leaves so that it has a really lovely comfy bed. And you can pop some water and even some dog food in as a way of attracting hedgehogs into a safe space into your garden. But now, with Halloween just around the corner, we talk to our first guest of this new series, and we go over to chat with Lucy and her two daughters, Louisa and Maisie, to talk all things pumpkins. And so, fresh from their first weekend on the patch, we are lucky enough to be joined by Lucy Calder and two of her daughters, Maisie, who is 11, and Louisa is 9. How are y'all?
Yes. We're really good, thanks. We're enjoying the sunshine today.
Oh, lucky you. It's very dull in the west. See, that's another reason to move back east.
Yeah, definitely.
So, to set the scene for our listeners, Gilduff Farm is down in the heart of East Lothian, and East Lothian is also known as Edinburgh's extended garden because it's of great food and drink products which are used by some of Edinburgh's best cafes and restaurants. Now, I'm right in saying that Gilduff is a 1,000 acre arable farm.
Yeah.
And you guys grow wheat, oat and beans traditionally.
Yeah.
But you had a bit of a crazy idea back in 2017 when you decided to diversify and grow pumpkins. So what caused this?
Maisie's laughing there because she does think it's a crazy idea.
Yeah.
So you're right in saying that we've got a large arable farm, which traditionally is all arable crops. And as such, it just means that there was no scope for our children to get involved in the day-to-day farming. And my husband, Russell, and I really wanted them to be able to be involved and just get to sort of get their hands dirty, if you will, and just get involved in the day-to-day running. So we thought of a lot of things, looked at a lot of options for diversification, and decided that we would give pumpkins a try. And it's just spiraled from there, really.
Excellent. Now, I know, looking back, having grown up in a farm, it's only now that I realise what a privileged upbringing that was. Girls, what's the best thing about living on a farm for you guys?
Probably all the space that we have.
Yeah. Okay. And a career in farming and food, do you think that is likely?
Maybe.
They're undecided. Maybe ask them in January once they've had a break from pumpkins.
Yeah.
So homeschooling must have looked very different for you guys, having to run a farm because you can't really furlough a farm, so to speak. And so you had to keep that going, but also homeschooling the kids because you've got three children. How did you manage that juggle, and what aspects of the farm did the kids get involved in, Lucy?
Yeah, it was a juggle, but I think in truth everybody has a very different lockdown story, but in truth we have so much space. We are very, very lucky. Our lockdown, Russell was out every day working, so it felt quite normal in some respects, but the juggle of homeschool and just keeping a business running was probably the biggest challenge. But then that's where everybody found it difficult. So the girl, we tried our best at homeschooling. I wouldn't say we did. We definitely didn't
you ate it.
We definitely didn't ace it, did we, Maisie? But we did it. We gave our best shot, and actually we had lots of distractions. So we managed to get outside, and we managed to and watch the tractors when they were busy sewing. And then very much so the girls were, and Charlie were involved in planting the pumpkin seeds.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Cool. So you've been involved in the process right from the very beginning in April.
Well, even before that, they'd get to chat to us about, or we'd chat through what kind of pumpkins that will grow and how we think it'll all work and what jobs that they think that they would like to do. So it's really an all year thing for us now.
Sure. So what is the best part of growing pumpkins, girls? What do you enjoy most?
I probably enjoy most the actual days of the actual patch.
Okay.
Because you get...
And what's the most difficult aspect of it?
Probably the actual growing of them.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I would agree, having grown three pumpkins, that it's really difficult to grow pumpkins. So everyone should really appreciate those pumpkins this year. I totally, totally testify. Lucy, why do you think it's important more now than ever to sort of reconnect children to nature and countryside and where our food actually comes from? Because I'm aware that not everyone has a connection to a farm mm-hmm. anymore, whereas in the past you might have had a grandpa, an uncle, a brother who were tied up in some sort of farming industry.
I mean, absolutely. I think fewer and fewer people have a connection to farming now, and with the ease of buying your food from a supermarket or from a local shop, I think people are losing that sort of connection with actually where your food comes from. And that became very apparent in our first year when we opened the patch, that children just didn't mm-hmm. know where, well, not even just children, adults just didn't know, one, how a pumpkin grows, which isn't that unusual. I mean, I didn't know how a pumpkin grew before we started. But just that actually food comes from the ground and how it grows, and even just being outside in a farm setting, that we realized very quickly that people didn't know that you could eat pumpkins even. So that's become very important to us as a family, to teach people and just sort of introduce and give them a wee bit of an introduction and experience on the farm. I do think lockdown has maybe helped in that, and I think there is mm-hmm. a movement to support local farmers and local businesses and food producers. I think and growing your own. I think that's one thing that lockdown did give us was time to grow your own food. Life is so busy now that people don't get the opportunity to do that. So it has to be easy and it has to be quick. So I do think that's where there has been, and I know you've seen that, there has been a more of an appreciation of where your food comes from. And I do hope that will continue.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I'm aware you can go into any well-known supermarket and pick up a sort of monstrous orange pumpkin for £1.50. Yes. But I guess there's probably now an appetite perhaps more than ever to actually go to a farm and pick your own pumpkin.
I think certainly this year we've seen a huge rise in interest in picking a pumpkin. I'm not sure whether that is because people are desperate to have a day outside with their children.
Yeah.
And actually now with all the restrictions, taking children into a supermarket to get your pumpkins is probably even less appealing. But
it's very stressful.
So I think people are desperate to get outside. But even still, I think without COVID, we would have had, there's definitely people are much more interested in getting outside. And the pumpkin picking is a huge thing now in Scotland.
Yeah, no, definitely. And as well as obviously the sort of carving pumpkins that you grow, you've obviously gone down the culinary aspect as well. Tell me a little bit more about the culinary pumpkins
so
that you're
that
doing.
Again stemmed from being on the patch and chatting to people and not knowing and them not knowing that one you could cook with them or how to cook with them and it just sort of I've got a passion for cooking and food, and it just sparked a wee bit of interest in me that actually you can cook with them, you can make really delicious food with pumpkins. So we decided at that point, and because Russell is very keen grower, he's really intrigued and interested in growing produce, and you don't necessarily get that opportunity to really get excited about wheat and beans and oats.
I can imagine.
So we just decided that we would see if we could grow some culinary varieties and see where that took us. And so that's been so we're really in year two now of growing specific culinary varieties, and trying to we've invested a huge amount of time and energy in working out, well, one, what varieties grow well in Scotland, because not all pumpkins grow well in Scotland, as you know.
Sure.
And two, what actually each pumpkin variety is best for. And so we're really entrenched in that now, actually, just working out what grows well, what's best for what, and creating recipes and engaging chefs and foodies to use them and people at home in their kitchens.
Yeah, totally. So what would be your top of the pops in terms of pumpkin varieties?
One to three. I've been asked this a lot, and I think you have a similar top. I think Crown Prince is my favourite.
Definitely.
I think for various reasons. I think aesthetically it looks gorgeous. It's got a beautiful silvery blue green skin and looks lovely and looks very different.
It
tastes amazing, and the flesh is a bright orange color, so you crack it open and it just looks very cool and it
smells like a melon. Like my eldest smelled it and he's like, "Mum, that smells like melon." And pumpkin comes from the melon family.
And isn't that amazing that your eldest can sit there and say, "Mum, and get involved in that." And so I think for taste, texture, usability, it's such a you can use it for so many things. I think that's probably my favourite. Louisa, just what was your favourite, Lulu?
Jill Be Little,
which is a
cute.
A tiny wee munchkin pumpkin. I think that one, well, again, looks great, but from a cooking perspective, it's you can have it just baked in the oven like a potato, so it's mm-hmm. just a really cool thing, and it's been it's been in demand this year. We're actually running low. We're gonna have to plant thousands of them next year because people have loved them so much, and certainly chefs have really cottoned onto them this year.
That's
three.
Great.
What's number three, do you think?
I like the jam one the like dark green,
the
ones.
Dark gem store.
The one what is like shaped as bells.
Mashed
potato.
Mashed potato, the white that mashed potato. Cool. Yeah, so you, I actually not sure that we can choose three.
No,
sorry.
It's quite hard to just choose three pumpkins.
Top one and two are crown pumpkins.
It is.
Yeah.
But then everything comes through.
Okay. I quite like tractor variety because it's so sweet.
It's good for a puree. It's good for baking with, actually. That's number three for me. Yeah. Tractor's number three. There you go.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Okay, Louisa and Maisie, this is a question for you. It's a Friday night and Mum and Dad have been working very, very hard all week and you are in charge of supper. What are you going to cook for them from the pumpkins?
Louisa, what would you cook? Come on, I want something really tasty for Friday night with a glass of wine.
I know what I would cook.
What would you cook?
For dessert, maybe pumpkin pie.
Excellent.
And
good choice.
For mains, I would probably do pumpkin risotto.
My favourite.
And then maybe just toast, like put in the oven a few jelly littles to eat as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Excellent.
I'm looking forward to it.
That'd be great. Can I come round once the restrictions are lifted? That'll be fab. I have a question. You can obviously eat the seeds of the pumpkin. Can you, if you've grown your own, can you remove the seeds? I'm quite keen on saving seeds. And can you replant them next year?
We get that question quite a lot, actually. I think you can. I would have to ask my husband, who's chief grower, obviously. but wouldn't that be cool if you could harvest room seeds and keep them.
It would, because I am aware there are some varieties that are becoming a little bit rarer as well.
Maybe that's something we need to look into, Helen. That can be added to the list.
Yeah. That's added to the list of things. Cool. So I really enjoy growing potatoes and carrots and sunflowers with the kids. Why, if you're to grow pumpkins next year, which I think everyone should try once, what are the sort of pitfalls and things to watch out for when you're
what are the pitfalls,
pumpkins?
Girls, I've heard a lot about the pit girls.
The first one that killed almost a lot of pumpkins last year was the slugs. The slugs.
You
need to watch out for slugs.
You really don't like
Were you in slug
patrol? Slugs are an awful thing at a specific time in pumpkins in their growth stage.
When they've got really thin skin.
So the pumpkins that you see in the field will have their skin set, and at that point slugs don't cause an issue. But when they're developing and growing, their skins are really soft, and if you get slugs in the patch, then you are absolutely, your pumpkins are doomed.
Yeah,
that was. They also.
I can testify also for that.
They also need, pumpkins are very particular in the way that they like to grow. We've
they
had
just
lots
enough
of,
water, just enough sun, just,
we've had
it needs to be perfect.
We've had lots of people reaching out and saying, why have my pumpkins not grown? Why are there no fruit on it? And
why
I don't actually
know. Why are all the flowers dropping off?
I don't know what the reason is for that. They just sometimes aren't happy and they just don't produce fruit, unfortunately.
They are beautiful to watch with children, though, because they just become so monstrous and sort of take over the entire garden. It's quite amazing. And then these beautiful fruits appear if you're lucky enough.
Well, your three crown prints were pretty lovely this year, I have to say. But, they were
beautiful.
Really well.
I felt quite... Yeah, I was guilty when I cut into the first one. It was like a baby.
Well, you named your pumpkin plants.
But they tasted.
So.
I did. Pandora, Dolly, and Penelope. Okay, so what, guys, are the aims and goals for the future of Kilduff Farm? Because you're obviously all really passionate and it's a real family affair. I get that when I visited the patch last week. What's next?
Well, we're really, really lucky in the support that we have, and it is a family affair. So it's not just the five of us. It's Russell's parents are involved heavily on the farm, in the pumpkin patch. My parents get involved as well, although they're not from farming stock, but they come down and help us. And we've got a great team on the farm who all get involved and give us a load of support. I think going forward, we will definitely be developing our culinary patch. Mm-hmm. We'll need to grow a lot more because they have been super popular this year and from various people, and that's amazing. So we will definitely be trying new varieties, growing more. So we've got more pumpkins, developing more recipes. That's something that I've really loved over the last couple of years, is working with a few people just on developing recipes. Sonia Lee of Lee Life Nutrition, and you developing recipes, has been a real high for us. So I think just continuing that way, but really growing the culinary side, and also continuing to welcome visitors. This year has been tricky with COVID because we've really had to reduce our numbers, which has been great for us this year, and it's sure. got a really lovely feel and a lovely buzz on the patch this year, and everybody's saying what a safe day out it is. So that's really why we do it. We really mm-hmm. we love engaging with people, we love teaching people about farming and bringing kids onto the patch, but certainly the culinary side will be developed even more next year.
Cool. Now, I don't normally use the Christmas word before Halloween, but it's yeah, much the other better C than words. The yeah. C words yeah. that we're used to hearing. Will pumpkins feature on the Calder family?
I'll ask Charlie that when I see him. I can guarantee the answer will be no from him.
I would.
Yeah, we might.
Oh.
We might save chicken. We don't have chicken.
No, turkey.
Turkey. We might have a roast kabocha, perhaps, on the because they do last. And last year we had a vegan guy who came in and got his pumpkins for his Christmas dinner. That's what he was having for his Christmas dinner. So they may well.
Oh, brilliant! Do you know what?
No,
he was,
I don't. I actually didn't ask what he was cooking, but he was very keen to have them. So,
yeah.
So I think we might have something, but I can assure you, Charlie will not be having any of them.
Okay,
absolutely.
He can have his sausages,
yeah, or
and
just
blankets,
chocolate.
Because
that's what happens on Christmas Day, right?
Or chocolate. Yeah,
chocolate.
All about when you're four, definitely.
Even when you're 11.
Chocolate. Well, listen, girls. Thank you so much for taking the time out to speak to me, and good luck with
Thanks,
the
please.
Next two weekends on the patch. I'm sure it will be a great success, and we look forward to seeing what happens
Thanks.
Next.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye. No worries. Bye. Hello, and in the kitchen today, Otto and I are making
pumpkin Wellington pie.
A pumpkin Wellington pie. So what we've done is we have roasted 400 grams of our Crown Prince pumpkin, which we're going to put into the pastry. Once we have popped in four onions, which we have roughly chopped and diced, and we've browned for a good 15 minutes with a little bit of balsamic vinegar. Otto, can you put the onions and the garlic into the pumpkin?
And pumpkins.
Yep. So,
quite like.
So Otto is spreading the onion and the garlic that have been fried in butter and balsamic vinegar. He's spreading it out into the pastry. So I've just used a puff pastry, a ready rolled puff pastry, about 370 grams. So we'll put all the onion mixture in there. This is easy peasy. How much do you love cooking with pumpkins, Otto?
100.
100?
Absolutely 1 billion.
And how much did you enjoy growing them during lockdown?
I like to grow pumpkins because they're healthy, and you can eat them and you can eat them.
Okay, so this is basically a vegetarian equivalent of a beef Wellington. So we've spread the onions and the garlic out onto the pie, and now we're going to add our 400 grams of chopped roasted Crown Prince pumpkin, and I've left the seeds on. So Otto, shall we put this on top of the onion mixture? Okay, so this is easy peasy recipe to do with kids. So that's the pumpkin on, and we've got a bit of a runaway pumpkin. Excellent. Okay, now we've got the onion, the pumpkin, and on top of that, we're going to crumble about 70 grams of blue cheese on top.
And I hate blue cheese.
You don't like blue cheese? Well, if you don't like blue cheese, you could use goat's cheese. And you could also add a few figs chopped on top as well, because figs are still in season at the moment.
That's disgusting, get you off.
Okay, thanks for that, Otto. Now, the next thing is, this is the tricky bit, is we need to roll it all up. Are you going to help me, Otto? So the key is not to overstuff the Wellington, because if you overstuff it, it won't it's not going to fold properly, and you're going to have escapey pumpkin. So we'll fold it all up, and we've cut a two centimeter strip off the longest side of the pumpkin. That's fine. Okay, so we're gonna parcel up. So we've got a parcel. So wait a wee moment, Otto. And then we're gonna take the bit of pastry that we have taken off the side, and we are going to make shapes out of that. So we'll make some shapes, pop that on top of the pastry. We will brush it with an egg yolk, and that'll just crisp it up when we pop it in the oven. And we'll pop it in the oven
for about
20 minutes until it's golden brown, and then it'll be ready. So we will be back shortly with the finished product.
So after 25 minutes in the oven, the Wellington, or the pasty, because it kind of looks like a pasty, is golden brown and ready to cut open. It's not the prettiest of dishes. I am not going to win any Michelin stars anytime soon, but you know what? It just goes to show how versatile pumpkins can be, as well as soups, muffins and pies. You can also add it to savoury dishes. And if we cut open, we've got the gooey blue cheese and the caramelised pumpkins, and it smells and tastes absolutely delicious. Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Grow, Cook, Inspire, and a big thank you to our first guests, Lucy, Maisie and Louisa, who have actually inspired me to kick off this podcast this year. So thank you again to them, and thank you again for listening. Tune in very soon, and we will have episode 2 coming your way very, very soon. Thanks again. Bye.